This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. Here we are again, the ultimate FPL podcast. Yeah, we'll go with that. That could be the new tagline. My name is Rich Wolfenden, football commentator and average FPL player. I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Jurdy. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good. Thanks, Rich. Yes, we are at FPL Triple Cap on social media. We're the ultimate FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league. It's all looking okay at the moment for one of us. For one of us in the team, it's looking very, very good indeed.
He's got his headphones off at the moment, but he couldn't hear your wonderful compliment.
He won't hear me.
He'll hear it in the edit.
We're going to do a rundown of our teams first. Nice and quick, Rich.
Yeah.
Tell us about your game week. I mean, this is one of the best game weeks any of us have ever had, right? In terms of a rank.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm absolutely delighted. 97k for my game week rank, which is my best one for a long time. Like, I've been consistent at getting like decent scores. I mean, what we say on every podcast is, you know, 60 points is what you want to get, and I've been getting in and around that, but everybody else has been getting in and around that, so I haven't really seen much growth. But I've jumped up about 800,000 places, something like that, this game week. So I've absolutely flown to just over 600k. 84 points is what I got in total, which is 29 points higher than the average. So absolutely buzzing with that. Edison continues to deliver in goal. He got 8 points, got some bonus in there as well. White and Livramento both delivering clean sheets. Livramento at the Etihad getting a clean sheet. I couldn't believe that. I mean, it's a pure fluke that he got in because Trent Alexander-Arnold obviously pulled out the Liverpool match with illness. But I'll take it. That's why you have first subs. And then Benrahma delivered. Bit of a lucky deflection, but he delivered nonetheless. Even Bowen got involved in the game week, and he's just been there giving me two every week, so it's nice to see him deliver. Put the captain's armband on Salah. It's exactly what you expect from Salah in FPL. He delivered 24 points with the armband. Ivan Toney survived another game week, and Brentford were absolutely superb against Wolves. So yeah, he delivered, and he could have had a hat-trick, to be honest, Tony. But still, nice big 12 points for him. Ronaldo got me 6 for his goal, and I brought in Jimenez, and he got me a 2. And I'm already thinking of getting rid of him because Wolves, oh my God, it was so frustrating to watch. They were so, so poor. But they've got some decent fixtures, so I'm not sure if I'm going to take him out just yet, because I'm still continuing the theme of playing the fixtures this season. So yeah, 84 and 608k to be specific. So yeah, pretty pleased with that. How was your game week, mate?
Yeah, nowhere near as good as that. 60 points. I ended up with a very small red arrow, which I'm kind of all right with after all the madness of people being benched and the rotation hitting and Trent being injured and things like that. I mean, again, just made the mistake of I got rid of Toney for Jimenez, and that was a 10-point difference. So the difference between 60 and 70 points there. So disappointing, Captain Salah. But I'm just, I think you're 1 point ahead of me now, Rich. I think we're both around the 600k mark. But it just proves, doesn't it? Like we said, you got 24 more points than me this game week, and you went up 800,000 places.
Yes, bonkers.
It just shows how you need that one good game week and you can fly up the ranks. So I really don't think that overall rank is a massive thing to focus on at the moment. If your team looks good, it just takes that one good game week, and you can fly up. And if you have a bad game week, you might drop a lot of places at the moment. But don't panic. You don't need to kind of do anything major or start doing things differently from everybody else just to be different. That can come a lot later on in the season. It's game. There's only 5 game weeks gone. And as long as you're not kind of languishing in 3, 4, 5 million, you're probably doing okay. So you really don't need to worry about it. And Rich's team is a perfect example of that. Having said that, if you have got a really good overall rank, then enjoy it. Ben, over to you.
Yes, hello. So I didn't hear the intro because my headphones ran out of battery and I was scrambling around for new ones. So I don't know if you mentioned that I am in that top 50K now. Last week it was top 100K, risen to the top 50K. I mean, I'm 49,642 still in the world.
That's class.
But yeah.
And what are you going to do to maintain this rank?
I'm going to play it sensibly. Yes. I'm going to have patience because, Luke, I did hear you on another podcast talking about the importance of patience when it comes to FPL. So yeah, I am going to be patient. In fact, I've got a bit of a dilemma this week. I've been so patient that I got 66 points this week. So happy with that. But I've got two free transfers to use.
Nice.
So I don't know what to do. I want to push for this top 10K. I'm only 13 points off the top 10K at the moment, according to Live FPL.
That's very good.
So, yeah, so I've got some questions to ask you boys today, for sure. After Brilliant. After that normal. Who to pick, who to drop, who to captain.
Well, let's do that then. Let's go straight over to our watch list, who to pick, and maybe, yeah, answer a Ben's dilemmas, which will probably relate to a lot of other teams as well. Rich, who's on your top of the watch list?
The top of my watch list. It's not specifically one player, really. It's more a team, to be exact. Leeds. I know they've not had the best start to the season.
Really? Yeah. I'm very surprised you've shouted Leeds, but yeah, go for it.
Yeah, they've not won the season in the league, which isn't great. I think they might even be in the relegation zone. But they're scoring goals, which is the main thing. The only match they struggled to score in was against Liverpool, who, you know, are going to be one of the title contenders. It's Leeds with a yellow warning because the three players who I would bring in have all got the warning at the moment. So I just need to wait for Marcelo Bielsa's press conference. But I'm looking at Ayling at 4.5 if he comes back. I'm looking at Rafinha at 6.5 if he comes back. And I'm looking at Bamford at 8 million if he comes back. The main reason I'm looking at Leeds is just simply because of the fixtures. Three of their next four games are at home. The first one they've got is West Ham, which is probably the hardest out of the next four games. But they've then got Watford at home. They've then got Southampton away, which, you know, it's one of the more... There's no such thing as an easier way today, but that's one of the easier ones. And then they've got Wolves at home, who are pretty erratic this season. So, yeah, I'm looking at those Leeds assets. And I think if I was to pick one to get in, it would probably be Bamford from Tony, just because Brentford's fixtures are starting to turn. And I think they're playing Liverpool this week. And I'm not quite sure how Tony's going to deal with the likes of Van Dijk and Matip. So yeah, I'm looking at Leeds fixtures. Why do you err on the side of caution with Leeds players?
Well, I think you basically covered it, Rich, anyway, but just the injuries could be a problem. We need to wait for press conferences. Their defence is extremely depleted at the moment, so I certainly wouldn't look at defence. I think Calvin Phillips played at centre-back in the League Cup last night, which will probably continue, which won't make them as good in midfield if he has to drop into defence, which could maybe affect their attacking output. I mean, Leeds are an attacking team, but it's one of those things, isn't it? I own Rafinha. I didn't bring Bamford in. Rafinha's missed five of his six big chances this season. And he's really frustrating to own Rafinha because you think he could always get more, even though he ticks over nicely on the points and he got a lucky goal this week. So I'm glad I kept hold of him. And he might be injured. So again, yeah, wait for press conferences there. But he is frustrating. And Leeds are a frustrating team when you own them because they miss a lot of chances. So I think I wouldn't bring them in this week for the West Ham game, but then I would look at them in the fixtures after that. But I wouldn't go defence. They're amongst the worst team in the league for defensive stats so far. You wouldn't go attack either?
No, they've got five goals in five games, Leeds.
They've had difficult fixtures, though. They've had difficult fixtures.
And they still look threatening like they did last season. That's the main thing.
I think Rafinha's still going to be great value at 6.5 million. I really do. And I wouldn't
be... If he can finish.
Yeah, but again, he will get the points. That's the thing. He's frustrating because he could always get more. He always looks like he could get 15, 20 points. But yeah, he needs to improve his finishing.
And I think with Bamford as well, like he's the only player in their team who's going to be the focal point of all of their attacks. All right, he's not really had the greatest start to the season, but you just feel like he's gonna kick on a little bit. I don't see Leeds being a side who will have second season syndrome. I think they'll finish top half again. You do?
They won't.
Yeah. They won't?
No.
We think Villa will this season.
And it's not... yes, I do. Of course I do. No, I don't like Leeds at all this season. I'm not impressed. I haven't got that same spark, that same tenacity. I think they've been found out.
Yeah.
What about those fixtures?
I can see West Ham beating them. I can see Watford giving them a really good game at Elland Road. I can see Southampton giving them a good game. And I think the Wolves game will be quite a boring one. Then they've got Norwich, but that's in 5 weeks. You know, they're decent fixtures, but at the same time, I can see those teams putting in a very good game against Leeds.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think you need to worry about rushing to bring them in, particularly not ahead of this West Ham fixture, but there could be goals in that. Defensively, they're amongst the worst in the league. I mean, they're bottom of the league for shots in the box conceded, shots on target conceded. Interestingly, for this West Ham game, 47% of their chances have been conceded in the centre of the pitch. And obviously, Antonio and Benrahma both operate in the centre of the pitch. So yeah. I think if you've got West Ham assets, I think you can be, and if you held Antonio like all three of us did, I think we can be really excited. Oh no, Rich got rid of him. You've never had him, have you? No. I'd think about bringing Antonio in for this game week. I think we can be really excited about. He could score two or three easily, I think, against Leeds.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's similar price to Bamford as well. And you know, West Ham, I think they'll be in contention again for European places. They look decent. Yeah, the other asset too you need to bring in though is Benrahma, like you say, the central position. I think he's gone up like $500,000 since the start of the season. Like he's flown up in value. I've still got Jarrod Bowen in my team. He looks dangerous when he plays, but he just doesn't deliver. So he might have to be bumped on at some point, but I might give him one more week against Leeds. Other players, I messaged you about this, Luke, as a bit of a ha ha ha, what are they doing? The FPL scout recommending Ramsdale. But Arsenal have had two clean sheets since he's came in.
Yep.
And if you're looking at budget goalkeepers and you're looking at the fixtures, there's no better goalkeeper to pick at the moment than Aaron Ramsdale. £4.5 million. Who have they got again this weekend? All right, they've got Tottenham, but then again, they've got three out of four games at home. Brighton is an away game, which is hard. But then they've got Palace and then they've got Villa. So, you know, it's not the easiest running, but it's a relatively easy running. And, you know, Arsenal seem to be getting a little bit better. But there's always like an underlying thing in the back of my head that just says, it's Arsenal. What are you doing picking an Arsenal goalkeeper? They're going to concede. So I don't know. But for £4.5 million, you know, the other players in that bracket is like David Raya and Sanchez. I think they've gone up a little bit higher. But I think he might just pip them to the post. I know the goalkeeper's not a very interesting position to debate. But what do you reckon about Ramsdale?
I think it's a good point. And I think it's a good position to debate a little bit, because a lot of people are going to be wildcarding in the next few game weeks. So I'd definitely be considering at least one defender from Arsenal. I wouldn't look at their attack just yet, but they are improving at the back. I said, you know, not to say I told you so, but I did think that I shouted it a few weeks ago that I think Arsenal will turn it round with this set of fixtures. And, you know, they're not blowing teams away, and I don't think they're necessarily going to score loads, but that could be a good thing for their defenders and goalkeepers, because if a team wins 1-0, chances are goalkeepers, defenders get the bonus points. So that could be even better. So, yeah, I like Ben White for $4.4 million. I like Kieran Tierney for $4.9 million, and he's likely to get the chance creation bonus because the guy on the other flank?
Tomiyasu.
Yes, he doesn't get forward as much as Tierney does. So if you've got someone like Tierney, chances are he might get bonus, he might get an assist, he might get an attacking return as well. I think from game week 7 to 13, their fixtures are really, really good. They haven't conceded any big chances in their last two games. Granted, they were playing Norwich and Burnley. But, you know, keeping Chris Wood quiet isn't a bad return. So, yeah, I agree. I think you've got to make sure that Ramsdale is definitely going to be first choice, and it's not going to be this, like, weird De Gea Henderson type vibe from last season with Leno. But, yeah, good shout.
Cool. I mean, I've got an endless watch list, but in terms of fairness, do you want to go through some of the players on your watch list, Luke?
Yes. So top of my watch list now is Ismail Assar from Watford.
He excites me.
Yeah. I mean, he's a talisman for them, and I think he would have been a good pick at the start of the season. This isn't just a... he's just scored two goals, so I'm going to rush to bring him in. The other kind of factors make him a good pick, I think. He's fourth for non-penalty XG out of all midfielders, which is really, really good. And his next two fixtures are Newcastle and Leeds, who are right at the bottom of the league of teams defensively. Now, you've got to... there's a caveat to this that he played Norwich last game and Watford were goalless from game weeks 2-4, didn't really create much. But it's the fact that he plays Newcastle and Leeds in his next two that I think, well, it could be worth a punt. And Newcastle have conceded lots of chances down the left-hand side in their last four games. That's where Saar operates. Saar operates on the right. Newcastle's left, of course. He could do really well. And I think he's the best option in that midfield price bracket at the moment. I think he's better than... I mean, I wouldn't get rid of Benrahma this week. If Rafinha's injured, then it's an easy switch from Rafinha to Saar. For me, and it doesn't feel like chasing points at this stage, just because of his stats, because of his fixtures. He passes the eye test. He's a talisman for Watford. He's one of those players, isn't he, that when you get the notification on Live Score that Watford have scored, you just think it's going to be Saar, yeah. or he's going to have assisted. He's one of those players, so he's top of my watch list.
So you'd pick him ahead of Conor Gallagher, who seems to be like the FPL golden boy at the moment?
I would right now, yeah, definitely, just because of fixtures. I think Gallagher's a great option when you're looking at wildcarding, perhaps in game week 8 or 9. But Palace's fixtures don't get that good for a little while. I can't remember when it is. But he didn't score return against Liverpool, but he was still looking good. Took up some really good positions, got in the box lots, and he's on set pieces. So, yeah, Gallagher's another one that I'd have probably shouted for watch list, but Saar would be my choice at the moment from that price bracket for sure.
Good shout. What about you, Ben? We're waiting with bated breath. The brains of triple captain all of a sudden.
Yeah, we've got to listen to him.
Saar is number one for every reason you've just said, and 6.1, lovely price.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a random one, and Rich, it's
this
your
is the Ben
like
I like. Come on this. Tell me. Go on.
He's got an eye for goal. Michael Keane.
Scored last night, penalty.
I'm not surprised.
He might be on penalties.
Is he on pens?
No.
No,
it went to pens. Yeah, it went to pens.
Oh.
But I know that we're not going to talk about it very much, Rich. I know that Everton didn't have a particularly good defensive day on Saturday against the mighty Aston Villa. But having said that, I always like bringing in a player after they've just been done like that. Because what's going to be the focus in training this week? Tightening up at the back. Michael Keane, though, he does have an eye for goal. When those corners whip in, it's his head you expect to see. He did it last season quite a few times.
Yeah.
And he's already scored with his head this season, hasn't he? 5 game weeks in. He's not going to be someone who scores with his head every single week, but I like Everton. I like Everton's fixtures, and I really like Michael Keane. 2% selected, 2.7% selected, 5 million, I think, or maybe 5.1. No, it'll be 5 million, won't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you think as an Everton fan?
I don't think you'll get many points for him for clean sheets. But he has definitely got, you know, a bit of an eye, half an eye for goal. Let's go with that. The only concern is last night, Luca Dean picked up an injury. And Luca Dean is our main player for delivering balls into the penalty area. So, you know.
He scores a few goals in his head as well. Sorry.
we'll move on.
Keane and Everton defence, big avoid for me at the moment.
Really?
Well, Pickford's out. Pickford's out. They're missing Richarlison. They're missing
Coleman's injured as well.
Exactly.
Still no Rodriguez.
Okay.
Just play it safe. Play it safe and avoid them for now. Right. Okay. Well, I think we've got to talk. I think we've got to talk about Chelsea briefly.
Yes.
And we have to mention Golonzo. I mean, The guy is... Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? We had him in our teams last season. I think me and you, Rich, had him in our teams at one point last season, didn't we?
Yeah.
I know I did. And then he was benched and benched, and I thought, I can't do it again.
So annoying.
But he's starting every game. It looks like he's nailed down his place as the first choice left back. And it will be so interesting tonight if Chilwell starts left back in the Carabao Cup. You know that Alonso is definitely first choice. There's obviously something going on with Chilwell. He played so well against Spurs. He could have had more than an assist. He's third for expected goal involvement for defenders behind Alexander-Arnold and Cancelo. Cancelo, another great option, by the way, I think. He's such an exciting player to own, Alonso. Having a defender like that who always just is getting in the box. He's taking a lot of corners. Yeah. He likes to shoot. He's crossing it in for Lukaku's head. You know, I really, really want to get him in my team.
But look who they're playing this game week.
Yes, I wouldn't do it this week. Yeah, I wouldn't do it this week. Although last season he scored against City. I wouldn't do it this week. No.
No.
But I think if I can move Luke Shaw to Alonso for game week 7 or even game week 8,
yeah,
I'm not going to complain at that at all.
If Alexander-Arnold's out again this game week, would you bring in Alonso to just use a transfer this game week, getting ahead of the curve maybe?
I don't want to get rid of TAA because then I'd always be wanting to bring him back in.
Yeah.
So unless he's out for weeks and weeks, no, I would probably hold him again. But it depends on my other injuries, because at the moment, you know, Rafinha's yellow flagged. Obviously TAA's yellow flagged as well. So hopefully they're both going to be fit and ready to play. But no, I wouldn't move TAA on if he's only out for one more game week. I'd probably keep him.
Yeah.
What about Rudiger? Because obviously he scored last week as well.
I think he's the safest.
He's been called the best centre-back in the Premier League. I saw on TalkSport the other day. Your employer's rich.
They don't know anything. They hire me.
I think he's the safest Chelsea option in defence. Yeah, he's the most nailed. And he looks great. Yeah, and he's got goal threat too. So, yeah, Rudiger, great option.
So should we move on to players we're looking to move on this game week?
Yes. Ben, did you have a dilemma about this?
Yeah, I've got a dilemma. Well, the first one is kind of a dilemma that lots of people are having at the moment with lots of conflicting information. 41.4% of managers in FPL own Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw is 5.5 million. In terms of returns this season, so five games. First of all, 1 point against Leeds where they beat them 5-1. 4 points, 6 points, 5 points, 2 points. It's not a massive haul. It's 18 points overall for Luke Shaw at the moment. What are we thinking?
I'm going to hold for Villa and Everton games because I think he's still a good pick for that. I think Villa are, sorry Ben, but I think Villa are bottom for XG so far in the league. So aren't offering loads going forward, although brilliant result against Everton. And I don't necessarily think United are going to keep clean sheets. We still look dodgy at the back, but which is bound to happen when you've got Fred and McTominay and Matic in those two taking up two positions in the team when we've got so many good players. I don't necessarily think clean sheets are going to be there, but he is creating lots. He's constantly looking for Ronaldo. United have been averaging way more. Obviously, we've only got two games to go on, but they're averaging way more crosses per game than they were before Ronaldo came in. And Luke Shaw's averaging 13.5 crosses a game.
Is he? Wow, that's incredible.
In the last two. So I think he's still a good pick. And, you know, United might get lucky and keep a clean sheet and an assist for Shaw for Ronaldo. That's a 12-pointer. I wouldn't be getting rid of him before those two fixtures. After that, is quite an easy sell because United have got hard fixtures. But for now, I'm gonna hold him.
I was also thinking that, Ben. Like, I was thinking of moving him on. But, you know, two home games against two sides who are probably going to be mid-table by the end of the season. I think Villa and Everton are both going to look to sit back and try and play on the counter-attack, which will probably mean Shaw will push higher up the pitch and continue with his form in terms of crossing. So I'm going to keep hold of him for now. But yeah, there's so many options in there, so I don't understand why you look to get rid.
My next question is directed at you, Luke. I didn't watch the United game last week. I've got Grealish and I've got Greenwood. and I need to get rid of one of them because I do want to bring Alonso in at the back. My defence is weak. But to free up the money, I need to get rid of either Grealish or Greenwood. What's happening with Greenwood?
I would still hold him for this week, but keep an eye on United's lineup tonight against West Ham for the Carabao Cup, because if Greenwood starts, there's trouble ahead, I think. He's a rotation risk. He's definitely more of a rotation risk now because of the way Lingard's playing. Lingard's come on, obviously, made a horrendous mistake in the Champions League, but his goal against West Ham was just out of this world, and his goal against Newcastle was brilliant too. So I think he's pushing for a start. Sancho's obviously there as well. Hasn't started very well, but Ole's going to show a lot of confidence and faith in Sancho, and I think the performances will come. So he is a rotation risk. So if it was a straight choice of Grealish or Greenwood, I'd definitely be getting rid of Greenwood and keeping Grealish. I think Grealish could be an even better option now De Bruyne's back. I think on the left-hand side, and I think De Bruyne has been operating on the right, swinging in crosses, you know, and we know how good De Bruyne is at providing assists. I think Grealish is going to be taught to make those, you know, those Sterling type runs into the box where he's just on the end of tap-ins. I think that's going to be Grealish's role if he's operating on the left. So I'd definitely keep him. I'm thinking about bringing someone like Grealish in.
I did the game at the weekend, and honestly, Manchester City, I know this happened to them last season. They started slow and then picked up points, but they just looked hopeless against Southampton, who I think Oriol Romeo got man of the match. And I was like, what?
I think it was an anomaly, though. I think it was just one of those exception to the rule matches. I didn't see it, to be fair. So I trust your judgment more, but I just think... Yeah. City are always, they've always got that in them, haven't they? Five goal performance.
They do. I mean, they've already had two of them this season, so, you know, could be talking out my backside. I mean, they look tired is what happened towards the end of it. But when they passed it to Grealish, he was the one who looked like he was likely to make something happen. But they didn't have Torres, which was interesting. Torres has been the guy who's been starting up front for them this season. And I presumed he would start up front again. Instead, he went with Raheem Sterling down the middle. Who's just not best playing in that position at all.
We've talked about how Grealish is getting, you know, he's starting every game for City. Obviously, he was 100 million quid. Yeah. They're now on the road for the next 2 weeks. They're away at Chelsea, then they're away at Liverpool. So that's two tough fixtures. Actually, you know what I'm thinking? Like, when Villa needed to get back into the Premier League, Jack Grealish dragged us up. You know, he turned up and he played. I'm actually thinking... Grealish, he is the kind of player where when the pressure's on, he plays better. And he does play better against the bigger teams. Is he going to keep getting those starts? You know what? I think I'm going to keep Grealish.
I think he
could score big against Chelsea and Liverpool. I think he could, yeah.
He's the only player they have who'll, down the left-hand side, have the ability to cut in, go down the line and deliver on either side. Whereas Mahrez, he's pretty much always going to play on the Manchester City right when he comes on. But he's less likely to start. So, yeah, I think you know, Grealish is probably the most nailed on out of the Manchester City wingers.
Yeah, look, he will be rotated at some point, but just make sure you've got a strong bench. And if he comes on, he might get some points as well. But I think, you know, because Foden kind of operates down that left as well, doesn't he? But he can also, he's also quite versatile. There's always going to be a rotation risk, but I do think Grealish is less of a risk than Greenwood and has better fixtures. And Greenwood is not massively, but he's attacking returns are affected by Ronaldo.
Talking about City though, and the rotation risk, they might not necessarily have a rotation risk. The risk might not be as high over the next few weeks because I think they had like four or five academy players on the bench for that Premier League game. They've got a lot of players unavailable and missing. They had like number 97 on the bench against Southampton. And I was like, God, Manchester City, I thought they had an incredibly deep squad. But at the moment, they've got a lot of players missing from it. So the rotation risk might not be as high this season for Manchester City.
Would you sell Torres if you owned him or would you hold him?
I'd hold him.
I think he played full 90 in League Cup, but was rested against Southampton, wasn't he?
Yeah, they look lost without him, though. Sterling's not a centre-forward in the slightest.
To hold?
So I'd hold on to him for now, especially for the price he is as well.
Right, so should we move on to captaincy for this week?
I don't know. You look at Salah as the first option all the time because he's the most consistent performer, plays in midfield, he's got the highest ceiling. They're playing Brentford away, and Brentford have been pretty decent defensively. I think Liverpool will score, so picking Salah would be a good choice. But Ronaldo against Villa at Old Trafford, I'm leaning towards old Cristiano.
Yeah, I think Ronaldo's the safest choice. I think most people will pick him at home to Villa. And he is just... I mean, Ronaldo is doing exactly what I expected him to do. He's so good. His movement in the box is incredible. He's already just carrying on. Same amount of shots every game. Shots on target. He's the man. He's the main man. And he should have scored more against West Ham. Again, maybe I didn't get any bonus, which I thought was odd, but hey, that's FPL. He just looks so, so good. He's almost even better than... Well, he's definitely playing better than a lot of people expected him to play for United. Yeah. He's got a turn of pace. You know, he's 36 and he's got a turn of pace. I think United are going to get penalties, especially now they've made the fuss about not getting the penalties against West Ham, which clear cut. There were two, which were particularly one. One was absolutely nailed on Stonewall penalty, slid in and took his legs when the ball
when
wasn't
there.
When
he was going down before the contact was made.
It doesn't matter. That was a Stonewall penalty. But look, let's not pretend that won't be in referees' heads. Now.
Oh yeah, it will be. Especially with Manchester United historically.
Exactly.
They've always been in referees' heads.
Exactly. And Rashford, Rashford coming back as well. They'll get more penalties with Rashford. We can't forget about him. So Ronaldo's the obvious pick, but I'm so tempted to captain Antonio this week. As we spoke about earlier with Leeds, they're much worse defensively than Villa are. Unfortunately, it's away from home for West Ham. If they were at home, I think I'd be much more confident. But
I think that means that there'll be more space to play in for West Ham, though, because Leeds, you know, they're like a wave, aren't they? Like, come at you and then there's a lull, and then you take them then before the next wave comes back at you.
Yeah. He could go mad against Leeds. I mean, it goes against my kind of conservative, safe style, because the easiest captain pick is Ronaldo. At home to Villa, but defensively Villa are much better than Leeds are at the moment, and Antonio is even with missing a game, he's still right up there stats wise for best attacking options in the league, just behind Mane and Salah basically. Antonio, so I'm really tempted to captain him.
I'm going to do that, because this is the thing I hate about FPL. Ronaldo is... Bearing in mind, this man's got 19 points in two games, don't forget. He's the obvious captain pick, but I hate it when you're watching a game and it's your team and you've got your captains. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't want Ronaldo to score against the Villa, of course I don't.
I know, but you've got to try and take that thinking out of your head, though, Ben, because...
I can't. But in fact, it's given me a good excuse to take the gambling captain Antonio against Leeds.
Yeah, definitely.
And there is always a little bit of a... Like, obviously, I was so disappointed when Benrahma got that deflected goal against United. But in the back of my head, I was like, well, at least he's in my team.
Yeah,
and there is that caveat there with FPL, because it's like, and I said I think keep Benrahma for the United fixture because he could score. It was a lucky goal, but he did deliver.
I don't mind him being in my team, but I don't want the captain's armband on him. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, when you're at the match, a couple of seasons ago, Fernandez scored a header against Everton, and everyone was like, oh, what's happened? And I'm there like, I captained them this game week. It's actually not. It's not the worst thing in the world. Okay, let's wrap it up then. At FBL Triple Cap, get onto Twitter. Join our Discord. There's a link on there. It is popping off literally 3:05. It's just ding, 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 ding. Constant messages coming in. So get onto that if you want to, you know, just spill out your FPL thoughts onto this Discord thread. Yeah. game week 6. We're getting into it now. Good luck, everyone.
Yep, good luck, everyone. Extra Triple Captain Extra episode. I'll be recording that tomorrow where I'll talk through our mini league leaders and go into a few more detailed thoughts about the game week, including when to wildcard. So look out for that. And yeah, good luck, everyone. And Ben, long live top 50K.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.